time it is, all that stuff.
Hell yeah, we're on air, baby. We are on air.
Be afraid. Hide your games. Hide your consoles.
Hide your wallets, because we need to go to shopping.
Now, that's true right there. That's very true. Oh, Gladys is starting already. Let Pac-Man go.
Gladys, lady, don't you mess with my Pac-Man.
Oh.
On. I will cut you all sorts of different ways.
Ginger, we know not to threaten the GLaDOS, don't we? Of course, you get away with it because you have that sweet little cute voice.
I know, right? I'm so cute.
Did she just say, yes, I know, I'm so cute?
I am.
Oh, my.
So adorable.
Oh, my God. Y'all be afraid.
So cute. It's so awesome. And why Adobe Photoshop? Are you opening these pictures when you're not supposed to be? I did not tell you to open an Adobe Photoshop.
Well, apparently you did at some point, Ginger. But that's between you and your Photoshop.
Microsoft Office. So much quicker. Thank you.
Ooh, the drama. The drama that is going on.
I know. I just want to resize this damn picture.
Oh, let me say good morning. We got a new listener. Morgan Betts.
Oh,
yes. Welcome to our lives.
Good morning.
You know what? I said
Morgan.
It's Megan. I'm sorry. It's Megan.
Megan?
That, you know what? I might be saying your last name wrong. Just forgive us. But Megan, we still love you.
Megan, are you hot? I gotta know.
I'm looking at her Twitter picture. She is kind of hot. She's got a whole naughty librarian thing going on that Twitter.
Oh, see, that's hot. Snow's gonna love you.
Girl, hide. Girl, hide. Please hide. Whew. Okay. Anyway, in case you don't know where you are, this is Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I am, I don't even know who I am. Freaking Benadryl. What's my name?
You are. Oh, yeah, you're Corey.
Ginger, it's too early to be drinking, okay? We have all the problems before.
No,
too early. It's only 11. Lunchtime margaritas and martinis are, you know, it's only 11 for us. I know it's noon on the East Coast, but, you know.
You know what? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So,
true.
Yeah.
This is very true. All right. And that lady over there is Ginger, since she didn't introduce herself.
Yay! Oh, yeah. By the way, I am Ginger. I'm the little troublemaker, the redheaded Spitfire. Yeah, baby.
She graduated from redheaded stepchild to Spitfire. Be afraid.
Be very afraid. The ginger is on the loose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what was it? Somebody gave me one the other day that I had to put up on Facebook. Warning, I have been left unattended. Any trouble I get into is not my fault or something like that.
Yes, it is your fault. Spank.
I've got to find that because that was awesome. I laughed so hard when I saw that. I was like, wow, that totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I have been left unsupervised. Therefore, I am not responsible for what happens.
She had to go look it up. You know what? While she's doing that, I'm going to take the first point on the news because I am...
News?
Let me go ahead and make some notes here. Ginger, not allowed. Okay, anyway.
Allowed to drink before noon.
All right. I just got this in probably a couple of hours ago. I got to say, I don't even know what to say to this. In case you all hadn't heard, The Elder Scrolls is coming to Kinect as a free title. It's going to be slated for release this month. It's going to it's going to feature more than 200 voice commands. And they're saying it's going to add a whole new dimension to Skyrim's gameplay. So the Kinect for the Xbox 360 integration offers voice commands throughout the game, including dragon shouts, hotkey equipping, follower commands, and all menus, including items, magic, barter, container, favorites, and skills. With voice commands, you can quickly create and load saves during gameplay and access menus and inventories. Skyrim's Kinect for Xbox 360 support also adds new functionality, including special map functions, additional hotkey options, and the ability to sort inventory items by name, weight, and value. You can pop over to look at a video that they have for the Elder Scrolls.com. We would love to share it with you, but it is rated M, and we tend to keep those off of our site. So they made it available for you to go over and take a look at. If you go, elderscrolls.com, and they're saying this will be just the latest in some upcoming free feature updates from Bethesda. I don't know how this is going to work. Not that it's a bad idea, but for those of us who have the what you call the backseat gamer in your house, you know, the person that while you play and yell, yeah, I got like five of those.
One in the house? Oh, good Lord. I don't know how many times I've been like, get. I swear to God, if you don't, you're going to eat my controller. Shut up.
Megan says she got a blush.
she got a blush because
we gave her a shout out. We always give love to our girls. We give love to everybody. Okay. So, but anyway, I'm not sure about this whole thing. Anybody out there that's planning to try it? I don't know. I'm picturing in my head. I'm trying to sort stuff because I do like to do that. And that was one of the first games I ever got to work on. Not this game, but one of the first games. Concepts that I worked on was a game where you organized the inventory of an RPG. You were the henchman. Now I can tell because it's like 8 years later, but the game, you were the henchman for the hero, and you had to organize their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Just have you here. So I love doing that. But when somebody's talking, like, you're like, okay, magic, you know, and you're trying to organize everything, and somebody's like, did you bring some Coke? Where's the pizza? And then the thing is like, pizza. You know, yeah, things like that, just, I don't know. You'd be like, shut up, everybody quiet. Trying to organize. I got to see how it works. Maybe it's to voice, you know, it caters to one particular voice.
Yeah.
It's really super, super high tech, but I don't know. We'll be playing, I'm sure. We'll let you guys know. If it's bad, you know you're going to hear about it from us.
Well, you know, at least if it's voice activated, if they do some kind of voice recognition, I don't have to worry about my voice being misconstrued as anybody else's.
Yes, because you have that cute little voice.
Yeah. I sound like a little girl.
Well, not really. Just sounds sweet and innocent. You know,
sweet and innocent.
We all know here you're not. What you got, though? What you got going on over there?
What have I got? DLC for Bio... hold on, let me back up. Game picks up. BioWare says DLC will not provide a new ending for Mass Effect 3.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. During a Mass Effect panel at the Penny Arcade Expo East, which was PAX East, by the way, for anybody who is in the know, at the event in Boston last week, BioWare revealed more details on what the upcoming free DLC for Mass Effect 3 will do with the ending for a number of players. Who wrote this? All right. People, when you write this, please make sense. All right, so we'll do with the ending a number of players have complained about. According to BioWare producer Mike Gamble, the new DLC will not fundamentally change Mass Effect 3's ending, nor is it a new ending. Instead, he says that the new DLC will add more context to the ending, acknowledge players' choices during the game, and add some overall clarity.
Thank you.
Overall clarity to why your ending apparently sucked.
Ginger.
Well, you know, why you seem to think, you know, your ending sucked. Well, not you, but you know. All right, so to be clear, the extended cut is not a reimagining of the ending or a new ending, he says. We are currently building it right now. Our cinematics team is on it. Our writers are heavily involved. It's coming together. It's more than just a few cinematic scenes. We're happy to be doing it. We want to give more closure about some of the questions you have, and in general, we wanted to give the players a sense of personalization with the endings. Many people mentioned that some of the choices they made in the game are not necessarily reflected in the ending scenes. We are definitely going to focus on things like that. We want to make sure that when you see the Mass Effect, or the ending of Mass Effect, you know you now have the information and context to be satisfied. All right. So they say it remains to be seen if this extra gesture by BioWare to appease those dissatisfied with the ending will be enough to placate them. All right. I cannot talk this morning, apparently.
Now, see, Horace is saying the same thing we're saying. He said it's an ending. Why should they have to change it? And that's the
stance
we've been taking all along. These people that are angry, well, I don't like the ending. Again, we've been making this analogy for the past 2 weeks. That's like asking Michelangelo to change the Sistine Chapel or, you know, Da Vinci to change their works of art. It's a work of art. If you don't like it, take it back to the store. Don't play it. you don't start demanding that they change something. It is their artistic expression of their story. If you want to make your own game, go to school and learn how to make it. Quit telling other people how they should make their games. It's one thing to say, you know, the game is broken. That's different. You know, there's problems. My game doesn't work right. Yes, you have every right to complain about that. But to complain about the story itself, you can say, I don't like it. I'm sure there's movies you don't like. You don't go over and tell Martin Scorsese, I'm sorry. You know, I really don't like the way you directed this movie and the way it ended. And I need you to redo it. I'm going to need you to just redo it. How about that? Or I'm going to sign a petition. Stupid. Just don't.
I'm totally going to sign a petition. My petition is going to be the petition against stupidity.
That's going to be a long petition, Ginger.
I know, right?
And we look, and it may be put against us on some days as well, so we might want to be careful about that.
Baby.
Well, The Sims are making their way over to China. Today, EA announced, and they sent it to us. Notice, we like to point out, it's the EA UK who sent this to us. Yeah, the EA UK that sent this over announced the launch of The Sims Social Open Beta on Tencent, which is the open platform Qzone in China. Players in China are invited to log onto the Tencent Qzone to test the game and discover the innovative gameplay experience of The Sims. The Chinese name of the game is, and I'm going to screw this up, I am so sorry to any of our Chinese listeners, Moni Shi Guang. Did I say that right? Somebody call in and let us know. The No Data Wipe open beta for Moni Shi, that game there, will save players data records to ensure that their progressions are maintained and up to date even after the testing phase when the game goes live, so you'll already be ahead of everybody. Sounds like fun. The game is in development at Playfish Beijing, which is a studio of EA. The online game service builds on the franchise history of the innovative game design and the fun creating and living of simulated life, combined with new social play elements designed specifically for Chinese players. That I would like to play that because it just seems interesting just to see a different culture. I think you should be able to pick. EA, that would be something you could do to bring people back to play The Sims Social. Why can't we pick what culture we want to live in and get to experience those cultures?
There's that. Yeah, sure.
That
why
would
not?
Be nice.
That could be fun.
No, I would like that. The game's closed beta period received a very enthusiastic welcome from the user community. A lot of them rated it as high as 8.9 points out of 10. So good luck. The series has become what they're saying, it's become a global gaming phenomenon. The Sims, I wouldn't say The Sims Social. It has more than 150 million units sold across 20 languages and 60 countries. And of course, Sims Social is browser-based and was launched on Facebook last year. And at that point, saw 50 million active users in its first month, won so many awards, blah, blah, blah. And I was not a fan because I play the real thing.
Yeah.
Boo.
Boo. Boo on you. All right. Pulse Play unleashes Stick Wars 3 on the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch.
Get it out. Get it out. Spit it out.
I know, and I don't know if y'all can tell, I'm congested. Again, this weather, I don't know what it's like in your area right now, Corey, but yesterday it was beautiful, it was blue skies, I was outside bike riding. Today it's cold, it's wet, it's nasty. I'm dying. I actually have grass in my yard.
Oh.
This is unusual.
I have grass.
Anybody who doesn't live in like, desert area of Texas, you don't understand. We don't get grass, we get weeds.
I found a tomato plant in my backyard yesterday.
I've had to mow like twice a week the past couple of weeks.
Oh,
it's nuts.
That's nice.
It's very nice. It's very nice, but it's nuts. All right, so evil is back, and this time you control evil king Melnik along with his mostly undead army. How are they only mostly undead? Anyways, relentless, organized, and now ready to take the world by force, the insidious King Melnik is back to exact his revenge on King Otto as the number one castle defense strategy game returns in Stick Wars 3, now available for the iPad, the iPhone, and the iPod Touch. This visually captivating strategy series has been downloaded over 10 million times, is based on the epic battle between forces of good and evil. The story unfolds a year after King Otto defeated the tyrant King Melnik in a decisive victory, bringing shame upon his name. As Melnik attempts to repair his bruised ego and regain his self-esteem, players now have a unique opportunity to slip into the role of the evil overlord as he struggles to reclaim control of the world, proving once and for all that he's truly the baddest dick in the land. Wow. All right, so, King Melnik says, the tense and uneasy relationship that exists between Otto and myself has been stressful, to say the least. following our last encounter in Stick Wars 2, my army suffered an embarrassing defeat, which caused me to take countless hours of intense personal empowerment therapy and anger mastery sessions. Oh my god. I have since deepened my desire to watch Otto's empire crumble into dust, and I will bring with me superior graphics, a new user interface, new sinister powers, and improved strategic gameplay. Stick Wars 3 will prove to be my greatest victory yet! Okay, so that was awesome.
Oh my.
Anyways,
wow.
GameAnatrix.com, just a minute. I'll have this up for you. Looks like they have a Facebook. There may be a trailer. So, yeah, bear with me, and I'll get this up for you. Stick Wars 3.
Yeah, fun. Well,
it sounds like fun.
Well, some of you developers out there are probably a little irritated as
uh-oh.
Of yesterday. Google Plus's redesign has messed y'all up bad. Yeah. That's so professional, right? Y'all messed y'all up. They messed y'all up. One of the most valuable resources, of course, for a social network looking to attract new users is a robust market of apps that extend the platform's functionality and increases their engagement. So when the redesign for Google+, which we told you about yesterday, broke a number of apps and extensions built for the search giant's social network, many developers were screaming, Google+, why you no work?
Google+, why you no work?
Why you no work? One of the developers, Mr. Mohamed Mansour, who is an Ottawa-based developer who created custom tools to help users share from Google Plus across other social networks and see all of the Google Plus hangouts happening in their network, said change is good, you know, with a better relationship with your third-party developer community who technically spend
We have to have a relationship with those people?
Yes. Who technically spend hundreds of hours building on top of this platform for free. Where the hell is the transition period is what you said.
Oh, y'all made him cut. Y'all are in
yes,
trouble.
You did. Yes, you did. Mansour said to VentureBeat that his extensions and apps were downloaded way over 2 million times in the last 10 months. He said, but if you look at his little GitHub page, he loved the platform so much and that he spent his personal and free time evangelizing for it to make this experience better and more enjoyable. And he says, why didn't you reach out to the developers and tell them major change is coming? Didn't we support this platform enough to know how things will break?
Ooh. Trouble, man.
Google has not officially responded. Oh, I'm sorry, they have responded. They've responded that they haven't officially released an API to allow developers on the platform. So can't be expected to support this work. Ow. Another software developer, DeWitt Clinton, told Hacker News, all of us sincerely appreciate developers building on the Google Plus platform, and we're excited to continue to develop and support our official API over at developers.google.com/plus. Please do join us over there and let us know what you'd like us to add or improve. Yeah. That said, we obviously can't support applications built on undocumented, unofficial, and internal surfaces, including those based on reverse engineering or scraping the Google Plus user interface. Ouch. Since we believe that's the case, we've reached out to the author and hope to clear the situation. Man, it's a fight. Throw the oil in and the jello. Take your shirts off, boys. Okay, anyway. Good luck with all of you over there at Google+. We'll be there still. I'll still be playing some games if they work. Ginger, did we lose you?
I guess. So, I was talking, and then it just, like,
I was like, Ginger's awfully quiet. Anyway, those of you, as I said, so Ginger can hear, good luck, Google, and developers. Can you hear me? Ginger cannot hear me.
Oh.
We have technical difficulties. Please stand by. Poor Ginger. Let me tell her I can still hear her. Poor Ginger. Okay, anyway, I'm going to move along. We have, Ginger, are you back yet?
I think maybe I'm back. I have no idea what happened. That's just like no lag, and then all of a sudden, twice, I was just dropped on my butt.
Poor baby.
I know. What happened? How rude. How rude.
Right? Poor baby.
All right, I can do that.
To talk to me? You want to try to talk?
Yeah.
Go.
All right. GamePolitics.com wanted board game creator and former arcade owner Rex Reichert. The FBI has released an artist rendering of Rex Reichert, a former arcade owner from Collegeville, Pennsylvania, who is wanted for allegedly sexually abusing two boys ages 10 and 14. The artist rendering shows Reichert as he would have looked in 2006, but he has been on the run from law enforcement since 1992. So everybody head over to Game Politics. I'm also going to Twitter this. I want you to see his picture. If you know him, slap him, turn him into the FBI. The FBI claims that Reichert, who owned a video game arcade in Collegeville, has been listed as a fugitive since March 31st of 1992. Law enforcement claimed that Reichert abused two boys while he was watching them for a relative that was undergoing treatment for a medical condition. He allegedly made the boys play games while naked and offered them money for withstanding painful abuse, according to the FBI.
Oh, my God.
All right, so two more than slap this guy, okay? I'm not going to tell you what, but, you know, use your own imagination.
Do you have a link to a picture we can share on Twitter? Because that's one we need to find him.
I do, and I am tweeting it right now. Again, this guy's name is Rex Reichert, and I just tweeted it. Collegeville police charged Reichert with criminal attempt with intent to commit the crime of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, criminal solicitation with the intent of promoting or facilitating the commissions of the crime of involuntary sexual intercourse, indecent assault, corruption of a minor, and endangering the welfare of children on September 28th of 1990. Reichert is also known for developing the board game Nuclear Armageddon in the 1980s, so if you have that, burn that now. Reichert is 57 years old, approximately 5 feet 10 inches tall, weighs around 150 pounds, has gray hair and gray eyes, and wears glasses. Law enforcement claims that he has connections in the tri-state area, as well as Canada, New York, and Europe. He is also an experienced recording studio technician and has an interest in electronics. The FBI urges anyone who might have information on the whereabouts of Rex Reichert to contact them directly at 202-324-3000. Again, I'm going to give you that number because I know sometimes you don't understand me and my accent. 202-324-3000. So, yes, if you see this guy, slap him hard, turn him into the FBI.
I am just like, ugh.
What is wrong with...
Gamers, please find this guy. You guys are good at finding people. Hey, Anonymous, here you go. Here's your next case. Do something. All right. Those of you who are amateur developers and looking to get your toe wet, get in the water, play around, well, you got just a few days. This is your last chance to enter Atari's Pong Indie Developer Challenge. Again, it ends April 15th. Today, they are reminding you mobile developers that your deadline, I'm going to say it again, is Sunday, April the 15th of this year. Submissions will be accepted up until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. I'm going to say that again, Eastern Standard Time, not Pacific, not Mountain, not Central, but Eastern, after which the 20 semifinalists will be selected and announced on April the 24th. Developers looking to submit their entry should go over to atari.com/pong-indie-developer-challenge-entry-form. That's it. All semifinalists will begin work on a playable demo and receive support on the production of a video trailer. Trailers will be featured across Atari's various properties that reach millions of fans and receive publicity and support from other third-party outlets. A celebrity judging panel consists of Nolan Bushnell, Dave Castelnuovo, David Whatley, and Mick Schramm, and they will identify up to 10 finalists who will be featured on Atari's Developer Spotlight, where Atari fans can see each other's developer profile and contest submissions. The finalists will be announced on June 19th and will be awarded a 3-year revenue sharing publishing agreement and cash prizes based on your final ranking from $50,000 to first place, $37,000 to the second place winner, $15,000 to the third, and $5,000 to each remaining finalist. Let me go ahead and give you some more of the upcoming dates. So you get a pen, write these down, or record this, or whatever you're doing. Stop playing that freaking game for a second because you know you want to make one. April 24th is when these semifinalists are announced. May 29th, you semifinalists will have to have your demo ready and your video submission. June 19th, finalist announcement. July 6th is completed finalist mobile app submission. And August 2nd is when the winner will be announced. We will try to keep you up to date on what's going on here. Thanks to people over at Atari for sending this to us. Ha ha.
Yeah. And Horace, I'm going to cut you.
Don't cut. Oh, good morning to good morning also to our other new listener, Maximus Prime. I like your name.
Ooh, Maximus Prime. Good morning, Maximus Prime. Yes, Horace is making fun of my country accent.
You know what? Horace can't make fun of anybody. Just talk to him about those dishes.
Yes, Horace. Tell me. So about these dishes, do they have flowers on them?
He's not. He's going to want to cut me. I don't care. Break it. You saw how I roll, word. Anyway.
All right. What do we got?
Jane Germain, what you got?
Jane Germain's got a couple of short stories. I'm going to do these. Greek police arrest Greek BBL operator. On Monday, Greek police raided multiple locations in the cities of Athens and Thessaloniki to arrest the operators of the popular BitTorrent site Greek BBL. The popular file-sharing site has over 500,000 members, according to authorities. While law enforcement initiated several raids, only one person was arrested, a 40-year-old woman who was allegedly one of the operators of the site. Police are looking to detain two other site admins, one of whom is reportedly being tracked with the help of Swedish authorities and Interpol. The site, which is hosted in the U.S., supposedly cost rights holders $85.4 million or 65 million euros. Another claim police are making is that Greek DDL generated substantial amounts of income off the site for advertising and from a special VIP section which users had to pay for. Really, people? All right, we're using Interpol and Swedish authorities and FBI and everybody to track people of a BitTorrent site. We have guys like this other guy who raped those 10 and 12-year-old boys, and we can't find him. So we'll sure track down these people for having a BitTorrent site. And we're going to put them in prison for years. This guy, we may slap him on the wrist. Anybody else see how wrong this is? All right, and Corey's either quiet or I've gone dropped again.
No, I'm muted and talking because I'm crazy. Yeah, we all see how wrong this is, but unfortunately it's all about the money.
Yeah, apparently. Well, you know what you can do with that money? Daytime, I can't say it.
Well, that means you guys need to listen later on tonight to our night show. And if you have sensitive ears, you might want to stay back. But be here tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for GGR's This Week in Gaming. We'll be talking about this, of course, and most likely the Maxim Gamer Girl Competition.
And I will be going again over this guy's information so that anybody who listens at night who doesn't listen during the day can hopefully help us find this guy.
That is exactly correct.
All right, well, I've got another short one because that one was short.
Go ahead.
All right, Zynga spent $1.37 million on security for CEO. According to MarketWatch, social game developer and publisher Zynga spent around $1.37 million to protect its CEO and his family from a Russian stalker named Vera Savinchka? Anyways. And other threats. In 2011, CEO Mark Pincus filed a restraining order against the former stripper and amateur filmmaker after she allegedly visited his home on two occasions and threatened his wife and family. Obviously, now that Zynga is a publicly traded company, stories like this could be seen as either good or bad, but if investors and the board of directors think it's a fair use of funds, then who are we to judge? All I gotta say is, how did the stripper find out where you lived? I would think, you know, you're Mark Pincus. I would have my...
Probably that time that he called her is how she got the...
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I'm thinking. But, you know, what do I know? I could be wrong.
I don't know what to say about these people. Mark, why are you giving strippers your address? You know what? On one hand, they are absolutely right. It is his private business, but you know where you are. You know you live in America. We're, again, the back
country. And if you are rich and somewhat famous, don't do this!
You realize that you live in America. We're the country who prosecutes people who commit digital fraud to the fullest extent of the law. People who rape people, we give them 2 years of slap on the wrist. So you knew when you called that stripper that this was going to happen. Just remember where you live. Or be ready to say, you know what? I don't give a damn. Yeah, her name is Candylicious, and I called her. What?
Wow.
That's your options, okay? Is he married?
Mark Pincus?
Pincus married? He's not married,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
That's
think Christopher was threatening his wife and family.
Oh, well then, Mark.
I love that tone. Mark.
What exactly was she threatening? Was she threatening bodily harm, or was she threatening just to tell her? Because the wife might already know. She might have called her herself, you know?
Couples
have their fun. I don't know.
That's true. That's hot.
It's a possibility. Mark.
Hi, I need to hire a stripper for our anniversary.
Yeah, that's it. Some wives do that.
That's hot.
If that's how you roll, that's how you roll. Nothing wrong with that. But seriously, Mark.
I need 2 midget strippers.
You know what? You start doing All right.
No,
I got to do this next short one because I promised them. So there's a new MMO that's out, or just released today, called like Legends. It is the first MMO to launch on both mobile and desktop. Yes.
That is cool.
Yes, players will get to
play together.
I guess so. You'll get to experience the same thing on your computers, phones, and tablets. It is the third title in the highly popular Legends franchise. The first two games are the world's largest mobile MMOs with more than 7 million downloads. And if you check our Twitter, I even got a screenshot for you if you want to take a look. Let me finish.
Awesome.
They're probably going to see this before they hear what we're talking about. Oh, fun. But I promised them that I would mention it for our listeners today. I want to try it out. I don't know if it's free to play. That's pretty much all the details they gave me. And I said, Corey, toss this in this morning. So we do. Sometimes we do. There's something we like. There's a couple of trailers and stuff floating around on YouTube if you want to go and check those out. Oh, you know what? I lied. They put it at the bottom. Corey's crazy. Okay, so let me tell you about it. Be good at this. See, we have a no scrolling rule, and then I didn't scroll. But they did put some more information at the bottom. I'm so sorry, you guys. Okay, so this is supposed to be where is it? Okay, so they're apparently working with Google. So, again, it's going to launch simultaneously, or it did today, on both the mobile and desktop platforms. There's a 2-week period of Google Play for Android, even, on the Chrome Web Store for PC, Mac, and Linux as well, so all platforms. The company's Legend series are the only 3D MMOs in the world that allow you, yes, Ginger, to play the same game together on your desktop, smartphone, and tablet at the same time. Awesome. Okay, so it's supposed to be set in a gritty modern-day urban environment in which humans are aware of vampires' existence. Players assume the role of a recently sired vampire who must battle to survive in a world which fears and hates their kind. In the struggle, players must face gangs of well-armed humans, hordes of undead, packs of werewolves, covens of warlocks, and legions of demons. Legends is the third title in the highly popular, again, as I told you earlier, Legends franchise of the mobile and desktop games. The first two titles, Pocket Legends, remember that one? And Star Legends, the Black Star Chronicles.
I have Pocket Legends. Yes. I highly, highly recommend it.
Yes. So they're supposed to be the world's largest mobile MMOs with more than 7 million downloads. Dark Legends is, guess what? Free. Free to download and play. The game does feature optional microtransactions and virtual currency that enhance the gameplay experience with vanity items, health packs, and premium revives. Also, after the exclusive period, the game will also be available for you iOS device peoples. You can check out darklegends.com or look at our Twitter. There's a nice screenshot there. And the reason why we also have to do this one is they're located in Austin, baby!
Yay! Austin, baby! Yeah!
And the company was founded late 2005 by some really big game veterans, Cinco Barnes, Gary Gaddis, Jake Rogers, and Anthony L. Somers. Congratulations, guys, for playing.
Yay!
And when we come up to Austin, for me throwing this in there, I expect to be taken to the Moonshine Cafe for breakfast. Just saying.
Is that the one you want to take me to?
Yes. That is the
Sounds
best,
like a plan.
The best breakfast ever.
All right. Lawmakers promised revisions to CISPA. If you were listening yesterday, I'm going to talk about this again tonight, too, because I want everybody to hear about it. CISPA is evil.
Yes.
According to a SiliconValley.com report, the U.S. House of Representatives will take up a revised version of the controversial Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, CISPA, at the end of April. The revisions to the bill should address concerns about privacy, according to its sponsors, but details on what has been changed in the language are unknown at this time. The bill lets government agencies and corporations share information about hacking attacks on U.S. networks and copyright infringement. among users. The bill is supported by a number of large tech companies such as Microsoft and Facebook, mainly because they get immunity from lawsuits if they are sharing information that they believe in good faith is related to a serious security threat. Representative Mike Rogers and CA Dutch Ruppersberger, Ruppersberger, that is your name, are the lead sponsors on the bill, which expands scope of a Pentagon pilot program for sharing classified information from only defense contractors and their internet providers to a broader segment of the private sector. Rogers and Ruppersberger are the top two members on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. The bill has 105 co-sponsors already and is likely to pass. People, shoot this down now.
Mm-hmm.
Even Daryl Issa, who opposes SOPA, PIPA, and ACTA, supports this legislation. No, no. Too broad of what shoot this down. But advocacy groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation are gravely concerned that CISPA's language is so vague that it could lead to abuse. They believe the bill, if it becomes law, could be used to monitor online communications without restrictions, filter content from sites like WikiLeaks, and shut down access to online services. Can we say, oh, hell no? Lee Tyne, a senior staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, said he has not seen the proposed amendments lawmakers are talking about and therefore could not say if the changes would allay the EFF's concerns. In a news conference earlier this week, Rogers and Ruppersberger said their bill had no such intent and that they would clarify the language of the bill so that the private companies would give information about threats only to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Malicious code will be caught before it gets into networks. That's where we think we make the biggest bang for the buck. We will continue to follow Rogers. The writer says we will continue to follow the progress of this bill and let you know what changes lawmakers have made as information becomes available. And as information becomes available, I will be yelling and screaming about it. So,
yeah, we usually give you the bat signal. We'll call it the GDR signal.
I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, if it's just going to go to, say, the feds or whatnot to find out, you know, who's hacking this, who broke into this bank, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. I don't have an issue so much with that. But if it's going to be given to these companies who want to be all sue happy, oh, my God, you downloaded my movie. Your movie was horrible. I'm glad I downloaded it. I watched 5 minutes. Turned the thing off and deleted it because it was complete crap.
Throw up a little bit in my mouth watching your movie.
Yes, exactly. Because if I had just paid 20 flipping bucks to get in to go see it,
and plus the 20, plus the 20 or 30 bucks for the one tub of popcorn, the one hot dog.
Exactly.
Everybody's got to split the hot dog, you know, into 5 pieces. Okay, this is your piece because we have more to eat.
Exactly. It's outrageous.
People. Well, here's other not so nice news. It's being believed by one specific developer who's speaking out that the West, that will be us, is turning our back on the Japanese games market industry. Concepts KG, Inafune, has sent out yet another distress call on the behalf of the Japanese games industry, begging it to wake up and recognize its problems and to begin working with Western developers. GI.biz is reporting that he told Wired, "You should tell the truth about Japanese games not being what they used to be." He said, "Unless they get that criticism, Japanese game creators are just sitting on the glories of the past. They won't get the message that the Western audience is turning its back on us." Oof. The interview follows Infame's inflammatory talk at this year's GDC, where he made much the same plea for change. As he spoke to Wired, he praised American idols and pointed out that Japan won't acknowledge that it's serious competition. He says, right now, Japan believes that other Asian games and American games aren't as good as theirs, but across the world, American games are the best-selling and considered the most fun. But Japan's gamers and game creators still won't accept this. This is why Japan can't win. He praised GREE and DNA's drive and success, but also suggested they were the exception rather than the rule. And even though he's currently working on a 3DS title, Kaio, King of Pirates, didn't let Nintendo get away unscathed. He said, "It's always been the big player that's provided great creators to the world, but lately I feel what they're doing is not very contemporary. They're behind the times a little." I do have to agree with you a little bit there. I think the 3DS is very innovative, but I haven't seen the Wii U yet, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of, you know, Am I making sense? And for me to say that, y'all know I love me some Nintendo. They're not, doesn't look like they're really going to bring it with you. But I'm not going to tell you, but we all know how they are. They keep everything under wraps to the last minute. He said the answer was Japan finally accepting that it had fallen behind in the race. When they're embarrassed and they feel obliged to change, it would make a difference. And hopefully they begin working with other Western developers. It's impossible for Japan to win with just Japanese power. Everybody in Japan should work with foreign developers, he argued. Not just paying them money, but letting them make whatever they think is good, but to really work together, coming up with new ideas together, discussing how to make something brand new that would result in a chemical reaction in a good way. There's no way that Japan could be on their own anymore. I have to agree with him. Japan, did you ever play the Hack.Infection games?
I did not.
I never played them, but I wanted to play them so badly because I knew so many people playing them, and I do believe those were Japanese-based and one of the best MMOs, like, ever, the best MMO series ever. And for me to say that, y'all know I love my Link and Legend of Zelda. Amazing MMO. So I think he's right. I haven't seen anything that came out of there like that. I think the one DS game that I have been muddling through, what was that? I don't know the name of it. It's somewhere here on my desk. But I got that because it had something innovative about that the MMO kept playing, or it was an RPG, that it kept playing after. And I like that type of thing where I come in and I have to kind of get caught up what's going on. I haven't been playing. And other people could come in your game. Do you remember me going nuts about that at E3 last year? And as soon as it came out, I was like, I'm getting it. I have to have it. But I haven't seen anything like that made me just want to play Japanese titles. And he's right, they don't really work with us. Like a lot of times when we get the charts in, when I look at the Japanese games, none of them are out here. They're not even trying to release them to us. And the ones that they do are stuff like Dead or Alive, you know, with the whole Bouncy Boob thing. You know, ladies in the West, we're not so much about being quiet when you give us the hypersexualized characters. We get angry, and a lot of us are starting to vote with the dollars, meaning not buying it. And the guys don't be attached to it so much either anymore because they don't want the girls angry. You see how this works? Japan, come on, step it up. Y'all are good at what you do.
Come on, Japan.
You know what Horace said? We used to buy fast food and sneak it in. Back in the day, dude, you obviously haven't rolled to the movies with me lately. I got a special purse. It looks like a picnic basket, but it's a purse. And that's what I carry my food into the movie theater. And I dare them to tell me to open my purse. The sign said I can't bring food in. It didn't say I couldn't bring it in a purse. You got to be specific with me. Specific. You cannot bring food in inside your purse. There you go.
Oh, good Lord. What am I looking at? Oh, my God. All right, more stupidity. I was going to do an actual game story, but no, now I got to do more stupidity. You stupid people. This wasn't a girl, though.
Uh-oh, a girl? A stupid girl?
Oh,
stupid woman. Hang our heads in shame. What did she do?
I know. Apparently having a vagina does not make you smart. War 2 Glory Players Florida road trip for sex ends badly. A road trip to have sex between two gamers has led to one woman to be arrested. The tale of the 16-year-old boy from Joppa, Florida, and 39-year-old woman from Maryland began when the two meeting up in the online game War 2 Glory.
I thought you were going to say World of Warcraft. I was like, oh, no.
Where the two enjoyed flying bombers together. Police allege that as the two got to know each other better on Skype and the relationship between them morphed into something other than squad mates, the woman decided it was a good idea to drive 800 miles to meet the teen at a Southwest Florida hotel for sex. After the teen told his parents that he was having a relationship with a 39-year-old woman, they contacted police. Apparently, the teen told his parents that he planned on marrying the woman. Oh, my God. Florida law enforcement authorities obtained a warrant for Lisa Carroll from Joppa, charging her with 9 counts of unlawful sexual activity with a minor and 1 count of traveling to meet a minor, says Greg Shipley from Maryland State Police. The information developed during the investigation is that there is apparently, at least on their part, an engagement between the two. At least that's what they told investigators, says Shipley. But the real twist of the story is that when police showed up to arrest Carol at her apartment, they learned she was married. And her husband learned of her alleged crimes and indiscretions as she was handcuffed and led away.
Oh my god.
Interestingly, in Maryland, the legal age of consent in Maryland is 16, but in Florida, it is a crime to have sex with someone 16 or 17 years old if you are over the age of 23. Wow. All right, so chick, you were not only married, you were in a relationship. It doesn't say you have kids, but you're 39, so possibility that you do. You are a grown-ass woman going after a 16-year-old boy. What does that 16-year-old boy have that you could possibly...
Okay.
I'm looking at your pictures. What the hell?
I'm trying to understand this because...
16-year-old boy, seriously, did you see this picture? Because,
you know, no, I haven't seen the picture. You can we save it for later when we can actually, you know, because we got to, this is one of those ones we got to talk about tonight. I am in shock, not just because it's a woman. Well, I am sort of in shock because it's a woman on one hand. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, as a woman, as a grown-ass woman, a 16-year-old boy can do nothing for me unless you were like, I caught Zuckerberg when he was 16 and he had Facebook. And then the only reason I'd be talking to him is because he's got Facebook. But and then I'm like, I'm waiting till you're 18. Oh, no, stand over there. Don't stand next to me. As soon as you turn 18, it's on, Zuckerberg. It's on. But stand over there. Oh, you are so cute, honey. I love you.
You know, you have that. You hear that with stars, teenage stars all the time, man. As soon as he hits 18, they're legal. Da-da-da-da-da. Why can't you wait? 2 years. 2 years. Come on.
Why would you...
Because in 2 years, the 16-year-old will turn 18 and will be smart enough to know that this is a bad idea.
Well, he may not know that it's a bad idea, but the point being is, you could wait the 2 years. And again, what can a 16-year-old, he's a child.
He's in high school. He has no job. He has no benefits. He has no home. He has nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, a gold digging wench over here.
No. As a woman, and men should be the same way. A 16-year-old girl has nothing to offer you other than beauty. This is before. Oh God, we got time. Okay, I got an interesting email yesterday. There was a joke from J.P. Morgan, and it falls perfectly in line with this. He had a young woman that wrote to him and said, "How I'm a rich guy. And, you know, I'm pretty and I'm kind of successful. I'm looking for a man that makes $500,000 plus, which isn't, you know, it's great for New York, all this stuff." And J.P. Morgan wrote back to her. He says, well, he says, let's explain this to you in terms of the stock market. You are a high-risk investment, whereas if I married you, my money will only go up in value. Your beauty is going to decline, so you're not a good investment. With men out there, you need to take that stance. This pretty young girl at 16 is not, she's most of the time, by the time 25, 26, 27, unless you got some amazing genetics like all of us do here, they're not going to get any prettier. And then you're going to have to start all over with some other new chick. Women, the guys, you need to have a guy that has a little money. What if she gets pregnant? He's 16. There's nothing he can do. There's no job that he can get unless he is a freaking genius that's going to help you take care of you and this kid, and you're 39. And you were cheating on your husband. We can go on and on. I could go on and on for days about this. Honey, please. I'm not even – guys, you're stupid for dating younger girls. Women, you have no business talking to a little boy that's 16 or 17 years
old. None.
And we've told this story before. I think all of us here have had the instance where we've been talking to somebody online and we find out they're under the age of 18. I had that happen to me. And I'm telling you, I got sick to my stomach, and I was like, dude, we are done talking.
Yeah.
And he fooled me good. He had me thinking he was a doctor. Turns out his father was a doctor, and that's why he was so good with the medical terminology and talking about stuff at the hospital. He was getting all this information from his dad. And then I think I was calling his house, and he was telling me, oh, my mother lives with me. And she thought he was telling her I was 16. So nobody was in the know about anything that was going on.
Wow.
Somebody else, one of his friends happened to, you know, he introduced me to his friend, and his friend was like, do you know that he's 16? I was like, what? He's what?
Oh, my God. Now, see, the closest I've had that happen is I was 18, and he was 16, and I didn't know. Yeah, that was only 2 years. That was enough oogie enough for me. I don't do younger guys.
Jay Sakma, he's got a 16-year-old back. But you know what, Jay? I'm sorry. I like the older backs. They understand how to work the back. 16-year-old is all about speed. I need accuracy. Anyway, that's for nighttime showtime talking.
I need accuracy. Yeah, baby.
Power don't do much for me. I need accuracy. Okay. Tonight, can't wait till we can actually speak freely. I got some choice words for this woman. Freaking child molesting. All right. Those of you who love you some Forge of Empires will be happy to know you got a few more days to wait before it's an open beta. That's right. The German open beta will begin on April the 19th, but the other language versions, including French and Polish, will follow just a few days after. A few thousand of you have already helped put InnoGames put the final touches on Forge of Empires by delivering crucial feedback during a closed beta phase. Players need to play the game now can enter the closed beta by pre-registering on forgeofempires.com or visiting the Inno-Facebook page, where keys will be given out daily leading up to the open beta launch. The team's high expectations for Forge of Empires closed beta were exceeded by the overwhelmingly positive response from all of you beta testers out there and media alike, which we were not involved in this. Sorry, guys, we just didn't have the time. Particularly the graphical quality, as well as variety and depth of the gameplay, were received positively. Many players enjoyed the possibility to approach the game in an entirely peaceful way. In the future, InnoGames plans to add a number of updates and features. Players can look forward to additional PvP content and new ages. Forge of Empires is a browser-based strategy game that allows players to create a city and develop it from the Stone Age and onward throughout the centuries. This is one we were actually wanting to play. Why did we not do this?
I don't know.
We were very excited about this now that I'm remembering. Remember they made Tribal Wars? They made the West and Grepolis?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe we need to go back there. Getting stuff with
them.
Who knows why we didn't play? Sometimes we're just like all wrapped up in stuff. Anyway, go over and check it out, forgeofempires.com, and let's get some PvP going because you know Ginger likes that. All you gotta do is send her a request and tell her you want to cut her, and she's in.
Hell no. Seriously, I was talking to somebody about Stargate Resistance yesterday, and All right, if anybody out there is listening and knows where the private servers for Stargate Resistance is, please, for the love of God, invite me. I've been searching for those so long.
I saw them, and then I didn't give them to you, just like I found the ones for Matrix Online.
I'm sorry.
I didn't sign up for Matrix Online either because I found out that there was actually no battle. It's just you can run around the construct, which I don't want to do.
They have a Stargate add-on for Half-Life 2. I don't want to play that. So I want to play Stargate Resistance. Though there is, a rumor, possibly Stargate Resistance may be making a comeback sometime after April. Yes, if it is, my fingers are going to fall off because of me clicking and killing people. Oh. I can't wait. Seriously, my fingers were bruised. I started adding up the time that I played, and just a couple of months that it came out, I played something like 27 days straight or something like that. Yeah. I mean, like, hour-wise, once you add up all the hours I played, in, like, the 4 months that it was out, I played 27 days.
Good God.
Yes, I loved that game. Avernum Escape from the Pit launches for Windows on Steam, 40-hour old-school Western-style RPG from Spiderweb Software.
What?
And I have played this. I'll tell you, it wasn't really my thing, but it may be for you. Spiderweb Software is pleased to announce that Avernum Escape from the Pit is now available on Steam and directly from their website. This is their third RPG series to launch on Steam and other digital download locations following the success of Abaddon and the Geneforge saga. Our games may not be the prettiest on Steam, that is definitely the truth, says Jeff Vogel, but our audience really gets that the depth of the storytelling and quality of gameplay outweighs that minor shortcoming. We are hugely grateful for all the support they have shown for indie games like mine. You have been banished to this underworld, never to see the light of day. While the service continues to suffer under the iron fist of Emperor Hawthorne, you will enter into a battle for survival in Avernum, a hungry and fragile nation deep in the underworld. The people of this world have not given up, however, and they are forging a new nation of their own with steel, magic, and dreams of returning to the sun. Join them, explore a huge game world, hunt for hundreds of magical artifacts, choose from hundreds of quests, and become the hero of the underworld. Originally known as Exile Escape from the Pit and released in 1995, this remastered version of Avernum Escape from the Pit will contain immense overhauls to the system, graphics, compatibility, and interface of the indie classic. The entire award-winning series will be redone from the ground up and will be available for iOS, Mac, and PC. I swear to God, do not... Oh, please don't send me the rest of these. For more information, Avernum.com is where you want to go. You want to see my review? It's up on GamingAtrix.com. It wasn't bad. It's not my type of game. I'm not an RPG kind of girl. Definitely not a 2D graphic RPG kind of girl. It reminded me of Final Fantasy on the NES. It really did.
Well, you can read Ginger's review over at our website, GameMatrix.com, and then play it, see what you think.
Yes, and you can argue with me if you want. Go ahead.
Let me see. I got time. Do I have time to fit two quick ones in? Let me fit this one in, and then we'll probably talk about this other one later on tonight, and we'll get into an argument, because we always do every Thursday. You like a good scrapping, you come listen to us tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can sit in our chat room. You can call in. Unlike the news in the morning, we just like to get the news done. We don't need you to call in. We derail ourselves enough in the morning. But anyway, Epic Games is going to bring Unreal University to the East Coast Game Conference. They're going to present Gears of War, Infinity Blade, and Unreal Talks on April 25th and the 26th. Unreal University is an academic initiative sponsored by Epic Games, which is to offer professional hands-on guidance to those interested in using the award-winning Unreal Engine 3 technology, including the Unreal Development Kit. This year, top talent from Epic will share knowledge on a range of topics, from getting started with the Unreal Engine to bringing AAA graphics to mobile platforms. Most of Epic's content for ECGC, that again is the Epic the East Coast Games Conference, falls under the Unreal University umbrella, although sessions will appeal to both aspiring developers and seasoned professionals, with multiple talks focusing on mobile game development, production, and programming. Anyone that is registered for the ECGC 2012 may attend the Unreal University sessions, and you can pop over to egcconf.com/Unreal University to get signed up. Also, along with Unreal University, some senior industry veterans will lead discussions to support ECGC's core theme of content versus platform on topics from programming to social game development. You'll also have some peoples over from BioWare, which will be the senior creative director Paul Barnett, and Zynga East Coast executive producer Paul Stepanok will also share their insights on the state of the industry. Again, you can pop over to ecgconf.com to get signed up if you want to go. You can also follow them on Twitter, which we'll probably do as well if we aren't already.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you people that are going to be there and see the BioWare people, please don't attack them.
No.
This is a professional conference. If you're wanting to get into the industry, this is not the time to go fight or run up to them and say, you know what? You need to fix your Mass Effect. Fix it.
Yes. All right. We're going to be out of here. What are we doing?
Oh, wait. I had one more. I do want to mention a topic we're going to discuss later. Wait a second. What happened to my thing? Ah. Well, this is going to piss Blaster off later. Remember how he's always talking about the Steam games on sale?
Uh-huh.
Well, this will get the ball rolling. You guys, make sure you read up on this a little bit if you want to discuss it with us tonight. But it's Guillaume Rumberg, who's the head of marketing, Trevor Langino, have explained that regular 80% discount on games sends a negative message to the consumer about what the games are worth. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that later tonight. And, Ginger, take us out with your last one. We got about a minute 45.
Minute 45. All right. What have I got? I lost what I had. PSA, F-Secure releases removal tool for Flashback Trojan, because the other story I had was too long. VentureBeat reports that antivirus firm F-Secure has released a free automated removal tool for the Flashback Trojan that has infected so many Mac OS X systems. Aha, see, Mac is not impenetrable.
Mm-hmm.
The removal tool available over at fsecure.com is in a zip file. Once you download and unzip it, follow the instructions to find the virus on your system. If the removal tool finds the Trojan on your system, it will isolate it in a password-protected file in your home file. The password to this file, the removal tool will also save a log file with all its activities on your computer and gives instructions on how to clean your system. So this is awesome. Again, if you want this, it's f-secure.com. Go get it. See, ha ha, it's not just us PC users.
Mm-hmm. Mac people, pay attention.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll see you guys later on tonight. Make sure you're here again, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bring your angry and your mad.
You good girl panties.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!